let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. There's a conflict between voters' choices based on self-interest and on desires to be good. The latter doesn't always generate the preferred outcome in a democracy. There are serious information problems associated with altruism. And for many issues, the relevant self-interest is an aggregate of the self-interest of all voters. Philip Nelson's research on information economics has been frequently cited. He's written a book, Good Intention, Bad Consequences, Voters' Information Problems, and that combines the two fields. He's taught at Columbia University, the University of Chicago, and Binghamton University. And Philip Nelson, author of Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Providing New Insights into Voter Behavior, is our guest on This Week in America. Philip, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, and learn something on the program today. And let's talk about the subject of the book. I mentioned information economics, gave a little background on the book. What is the subject you get into? Because it's fascinating, something we often overlook, and gives us some great insight into the mind of the voter. What is the subject you're addressing here?
Well, basically, I'm interested in understanding voter behavior, and on the basis of understanding, examining, evaluating the consequences of various policies. So that's basically what the book is about.
Well, and it's so interesting because after every election, in fact, we do it now quite frequently, where we sort of get in the mind of a voter, what the voter is thinking. We try to get some idea as to what motivates their behavior. What's the difference between the standard approach to voter behavior that we see in all of the polls that are out there and your approach to it?
Well, basically, the standard approach focuses on self-interest. Now, there is a problem with self-interest when you're talking about voting. The problem is that, well, it's a large group problem.
Yes.
The consequences of anybody voting, the consequences on policy of anybody voting is very, very small because they're groups voting, and your vote just doesn't count that much. And so there has to be some other reason, both for voting and for the way in which you vote. And basically, my view is that you vote the way you talk, that voting is simply an additional expression of your views about the world. And on that basis, both self-interest and a kind of altruism, a desire to be good, operate, because that's the way people talk. They talk in groups. They usually talk in groups that have similar self-interest to themselves.
Yes.
And so there's both a group effect and a self-interest effect, but there also is a desire to talk about what's good. And there's a tendency for people to make what they think is good or the kind of policies that they advocate in terms of their self-interest, they rationalize as also good for the world. But there are people who think about what's good independent of their self-interest. And the most spectacular example of that are universities, where in particular in the social sciences, one's job is to decide on what's good for either the nation or the world. And so particularly from the universities, the consequences of that particular approach are enormous. The universities influence not only journalists, They influence lawyers. They influence, well, everybody who goes there. I mean, one of the most sort of spectacular examples of voting not in your self-interest are the way college-educated people vote. That's probably apart from the black-white difference. That's probably the most important variable determining who's going to vote which way. That's very, very significant because the universities themselves, I mean, they're trying, they're interested in what's good, but their definition of goodness is quite different from the way most people think of it.
Yes.
They basically ape charity. Where charitable contributions are greatest is also where the universities believe that governments should intervene. And so these are very, very significant differences.
Philip
in
Nelson.
Behavior.
Yes, Philip Nelson, our guest on the program, author of the book Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters Information Problems, the book available at all Amazon sites, at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand. And I'll give you more information, go through that again, but basically wherever books are sold, I'll send you to pageturner.us. We've got that link on our website. You can go there and get that information. Talk a little bit about it. It's interesting. You taught at three different universities, Columbia, the University of Chicago, Binghamton University. Was it obvious to you this what you feel is a liberal bent in the professors there? Talk about how that evolved, and obviously that made an impression on you.
Well, that certainly has evolved.
Yes.
Initially, always, well, not always, but for a long time, professors were mildly liberal. And that's sort of still true in a way of economics professors, because actually economists look at trade-offs. So when somebody proposes some vast expenditure, they worry about what the government could have done in the absence of that.
Yes.
And one of the things the government could have done is to leave it to private citizenry. What's happened in a way is that there's been a big questioning of capitalism among university faculty, mainly because there's greed involved. It's clear that people have a self-interest in operating in a capitalism fashion. But one of the great things that Adam Smith discovered a long time ago was that there were some very favorable consequences to the society as a whole from this kind of selfish behavior. And that's something that has been largely denied by all of the social sciences, with the startling exception of economics.
Yes.
And economics is only sort of mildly recognizing this thing. There's been, I mean, one of the things that has happened is sort of the intellectual debates about what is good. And the universities accept basically what charities regard as what is good. That is, contributions that contribute to the redistribution of income and to a different kind of environment. And basically, there is a big, big difference, though, between charitable contributions with respect to this and the contributions of government that universities are sort of pushing. Government, what happens is in the case of charity, the amount that you interfere with the capitalism is limited by the fact that it's costing you something to make those interferences. In the case of voting for greater government expenditures, there's no such cost to the individual voting. There's a yes. big cost to the government doing it, but not to the individual. And so there's a big, big expansion in government interferences with the economy. And I think universities have been sort of the center of that particular voting desire. And so, and I think what happens is that that also interferes with our ideal democracy. The university influences a lot of people to vote in a way that is not really in their preferences. Their preferences are molded by the university. A lot of it, there's a lot of evidence for that particular view. And that does create some very, very serious problems in sort of the democratic ideal, which is that we're going to have voting determined by the preferences of all members of the voting body. And so it is a serious, serious problem, and it's a serious problem that we're probably going to suffer through in this current administration.
Well,
so,
yes. With us on the program, a fascinating conversation with Philip Nelson, Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters Information Problems, book available at pageturner.us. It's been called A Must Read for All Who Long for a Return to a Less Polarized and Divided America. Boy, the good old days when we were less polarized and less divided. The book is receiving excellent reviews. Few minutes left in the program with Philip Nelson, the author. What are some of the similarities and differences between liberal and charitable behavior?
Well, the main difference is that charitable behavior costs the people making it something, and that produces constraints on how much they are going to advocate for helping others. In the university case, there is no constraint. I think there's a term out now in the literature called virtue signaling. And you're signaling by your vote that you want to be good and it costs you nothing. And so there's a tendency under those circumstances to over-signal as far as society is concerned. You're advocating, there's just no constraint on government expenditure being determined by that. I mean, well, the constraint is that there is something like self-interest constraining people. I mean, they're, both of those things are important. And what happens, another thing that occurs, is people, again, poo-poo self-interest. They say that, well, it makes sense that if you're asking what's good for a society. You're going to be influenced by what is indeed your own self-interest, and that influence is sort of contradictory. But what happens with voting in many, many situations is that it's aggregate self-interest that operates, that it's not just the self-interest of one person, but the self-interest of many people. And now there are circumstances where that's not true, but on the big issue of general redistribution in society, it is true. There are many people who are influenced, costly, by redistributing income. It's not just a few. And so that's what...
Yes.
That's why the alternative of aggregate self-interest makes a lot of sense in comparing that to the kind of altruism that operates through university. The general line in universities is basically class, gender, race. Those are the three things that university goodness focuses on, and obviously it's on the people, the gender, race, and class that has less than others. So that's why distribution, redistribution, becomes so important to them. And this redistribution has some very serious consequences that they ignore, that there is a choice between redistribution and greater income for everybody. And that kind of alternative that is ignored. And the idea of the evidence is that people are interested in things beyond just race, class, and gender. They are interested in their own well-being, and that interest is ignored in terms of university policy.
Philip Nelson is our guest on the program. Boy, time is going by so quickly. An excellent job with the book where it lays it all out there. Good intentions, bad consequences, voters' information problems. We're going to take 30 seconds or so here at the end. I mentioned before, book described as a must-read for people that want to return to less polarized and divided America. And I was saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice to get back there. Do you see us getting back to being less polarized and divided, or is this where we are now?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, clearly, if I would suspect that if the people espousing goodness realized some of the unfortunate consequences that they would be incurring, that they would tend to underplay that, and but they're still going to be that divide,
yes.
I guess, unless that information gets widely dispersed, and there are certainly problems of the universities now in terms of that. In point of fact, the universities have become much, much more radical over time. If you look at the proportion of the university, particularly the proportion of people in the non-economic social sciences that are Democrats, that's increased enormously over time. So that whatever is happening now is not going to generate less confrontation unless those interested in their self-interest just go along with it, which is what the Biden administration is now proposing. unity through accepting the position of those advocating the kinds of goodness represented by class, gender, and race.
You've spent so much time on university campuses. I mentioned the three where you were actively involved teaching there. The book is Philip Nelson's Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters' Information Problems. You'll find the book at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, that's pageturner.us, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot more places. The book is Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters' Information Problems by Philip Nelson, our guest on the program. You'll find it at pageturner.us in their bookstore. Philip, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It is our pleasure. Philip Nelson, the guest, the book Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters' Information Problems. Information on the book available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.